My text is the first letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians, as expressed by our pastor last Sunday. The Corinthians had a lot of trouble within the church. There was envy between people. They were doing things that were very far out, worldly things that sometimes I feel ashamed to bring them out to you. But if you're interested, start reading the first letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians. It's just a continuation. Mine is a continuation of that letter. You shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. That's a big command. There's another one that says, thou shalt fear the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Another big one. And if you go to the Old Testament and follow along how God took care of the people of Israel, and how he also punished the people of Israel, because they did not fear the Lord their God. Then they humbled themselves and asked for forgiveness. We have a loving God who, like the parable of the lost son, the father is out there waiting for that son to return. And it's the same with you and myself, that very often we fall from following the commandments, we fall from fearing the Lord our God, and do what the world does. And somehow he gives us a shake and wakes us up. You're my child. You're not supposed to do that. He doesn't say, time out, go to the corner. No, we come here to hear that again we have disobeyed our Heavenly Father. Again, we come to the altar. Again, we kneel to receive the Lord's Supper. And hear the words, your sins are forgiven. Your sins are forgiven. Sometimes I think people of the world, people that, even people that call themselves Christians, they do have a fear, or at the beginning, they do fear the Lord. But they say to themselves, I don't need him. I can save myself. I'll keep the commandments that he gave to the people. And they do pretty good. Things that we see, we commend them. Hey, that's nice of you to do that. That's well of you to do that. Like here, they mentioned some things here to those that had farms. Leave some grapes on the vine for the poor. Leave some wheat on the side. Don't take everything and don't give, even to the foreigners, those that don't belong to our people. There are a lot of people that do those things. Some of them do it to say it to themselves, I am good enough to save myself. But they get to the point where they get frustrated. Oh, why should I do this? Why? I'm getting tired of this. I'm not getting reward. Where is my reward for being good? Look at the other people out there. They're laughing. They're enjoying themselves. I'm going to join them. They're having more fun than I am. And I believe that there are a lot of people like that out there. They're trying to save themselves. They get frustrated because they can't. There's only one way of salvation. And you and I know. You and I know. That only through Jesus Christ can one be saved. We don't have to do anything. It's free. And that's why they can't understand. How can something be free, salvation be free? If I do something for you, you do something for me. If I do this and I do that, I can always come back. But here Jesus says, here you are. Salvation is yours. This Friday morning, I visited a man who was in a senior daycare place. He's a member of another Lutheran church. And I was really impressed by this man. He put out his hand, we shook hands. He said, the Lord bless you, the Lord bless you. And then here comes the nurse. Oh, come on in. Did you have a good day? I'm asking that the Lord bless you. You know, she knew him and he knew her because he was always talking about Jesus. And she said, I need your prayers. Here comes the chef who prepares all the meals. Hey, come on in here. How's your day been? Don't forget to pray for me. I'm now praying for you. I mean, he wasn't ashamed to let people around. In fact, everybody that I ran into there in that room, everybody knew this man. And they knew about Jesus. And that's the way we should be. I mean, we have the good news. The good news of salvation. And when I left, he said, I hope you meet somebody that you can pass the story of Jesus Christ. I really admired him. Most of his speaking was about Jesus. And that's the way we should be too. But sometimes I wonder if when they hear about this, you shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. And you know we're not holy. Wait, we are holy. We are. You and I are holy. Because here in this building is Jesus Christ himself. And because we're here, some of that magnetism of his comes into our heart. And as we leave, may those words that are spoken here today, may the readings that have come today to us grow so that we reach out to those people that are still in the darkness. They're looking. They're feeling their way around. They don't know where they're going. We know. We have the great news of all. Jesus Christ is the cornerstone. Jesus Christ is my rock of salvation. Because he says so in his word. Again, be thou holy. You know, in the Old Testament, as they traveled from Egypt into the promised land, he was there. A cloud was guiding them. That fire, there was a big cloud of fire that burn. And then when he said to them, I want a place to stay. I want you to build me a tabernacle. And they did. It was a portable tabernacle because they had to move over and over. But there were three places. The first part was where the people assembled themselves. The center part was where the priest prepared the offerings. And then there was the Holy of Holies. And God said, no one is permitted to go there. No sinner can enter that room. Except once a year, the priest would go in there. And he would plead for the people. He would take the sacrifice and plead. You remember the story of Zechariah? The father of John the Baptizer? He was there. It was there. His turn to go there. And he was surprised at the angel. The angel came and said, don't be afraid. God has sent me that you're going to be a father. And then he said, me being a father? Look how old I am. Look how old my wife. With God, nothing is impossible. With God, nothing is impossible. People came. They brought their offerings. The priest would take it. People came to church, they would gather, they bring their offering, an animal. The priest would take it and kill it, and you know, he'd save that blood and come out and sprinkle it over the people. That's why we use the word, the Lamb of God cleansed us with his blood of all sin. It was a foreknowledge of what was to come. The sacrifice that came and was acceptable to God was Jesus Christ himself. On Holy Week, when he went into the temple, and he was really enraged. Well, I don't know if the word right is, but he was really angry that the temple of God was being used to sell and give change of money for others. He took a whip and chased him out. He said, "You have made the house of prayer a den of thieves." And then people say, "What right do you have this?" And he said, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days, I will bring it up." He was talking about his body. His body was going to be destroyed, but it's going to rise again. And maybe these commandments ought to be brought out to you today and last week and the week before, because sometimes we forget the commandments of God. They're to guide us. They're to keep us in right path. It's a mirror to look at yourself. I'm not perfect, God. Forgive me. Help me. Help me to walk in your ways. To walk in your ways. And boy, today they were giving a lot of ways in which we could be a show. Not to show off, but to give God glory in what we do for others. In what we do for others. Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up again. And it happened. It happened. On Holy Week, on Friday, he was crucified, and he died. And then he said, "It is finished." And the temple and the curtain in the temple, the beautiful temple in Jerusalem, there was a big curtain for the place that was called the Holy of Holies, tore in half. Now you and I can stand face to face and talk to our God. He's here. He's listening to you. He's hearing your songs. He's hearing your petitions. And I pray that the Holy Spirit will help you as you leave this building, to know you are the temple of God. You are the temple of God. And this is what Paul was telling the people of Corinthia. That they wake up. That they're children of God. Chosen. Live a life that is God-pleasing. Not a shameful life, but a God-pleasing life. Clean up your act. Live as God's children. Live as God's children. Remember when the Ten Commandments was given out? Moses received them. Then he said, "Hey, God, could I see you?" He said, "If you see me, you'll die." He said, "I'll tell you what. I'll leave. You can see my back." And Moses got to see the back of God. And when he descended from heaven to bring the commandment, his face was shining that the people said, "Hey, cover it up. We can't stand it." We can't stand it. He had to put a veil. Boy, our God is powerful. Our God is loving. That he gave his only son to pay for all the sins of everyone. That's the good news. We know. We review it over and over. And next week, next week Wednesday, we'll celebrate Ash Wednesday. We're going to put ash cross on your forehead to remind you, you're not worthy to be saved, but he died that you may be saved. And don't give it up. This man, when I excused myself, he says, "Pray for me that This evil Satan will not loosen me or will loose me or not even grab me that I might continue. The man has a brain tumor. And he prayed. And we prayed together. But his faith really helped me all that day and continued. Let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, there are so many people out there who don't know what we know. Help us to reach out to them that they may see that we, as children of God, love everyone and forgive those that have hurt us, that we may live together as children of God and may carry forth the command, go therefore into all the world, teach, preach, and teach again, and tell until everyone has heard the good news. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.